This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.
All right, we got a bonus episode with David Dennis Jr. We haven't had a bonus episode in a while, but David texted me and said he wanted to discuss Tyree Nichols' situation in Memphis. So for those who don't know, he died after an incident of police brutality, and all five police officers are being charged with, second degree?
Yeah,
which, yeah, and it happened fast. And I guess the only other factor or two factors that I think are important to this conversation is all five of the officers who are being charged are Black. And the video just came out. I haven't watched it. I think I hadn't like determined that I'm not going to watch it, but I feel like I just hadn't been ready to watch it. And I don't know if I'm ever going to be ready to watch the video. From what I understand, it's over an hour of footage of different things, different parts of the interaction. Tyree at one point tried to run away. And there was some body cam footage and also just like some police street camera footage that collects it all. So I guess I'll just throw it to you, David, and see if there's anything that you wanted to add to that or anything you wanted to say.
Yeah, I mean, the five officers are Black, a sixth white officer has just been relieved of duty. So there's a lot there. I think for me, what was interesting was the night the Grizzlies played the Timberwolves, right? They played in Minnesota. And there was like this, oh, what a coincidence. Like the Memphis where this happened, they're playing where George Floyd was killed. And like, you kind of got caught up in that a little bit. Like this is how, what are the chances of this happening? And then you realize like the chances of this happening are like high, you know what I'm saying? Like if they had played in New York, I'd be like, well, this is where Eric Garner was killed. Or you play New Orleans, you know, in Louisiana, that's, like it's just all across the country, you know, and there was, and that's sort of a reminder, I think, that how prevalent this stuff is. Police killed more than 1,000 people, almost like 3 people a day last year, you know, and so this is going to, this is prevalent. And I think there's an idea that this is not, you know, this has been quiet since George Floyd, but that's not been the case. I think the thing that also stuck out to me as we were talking about the athletes is there, I think we've reached sort of this inflection point with athlete reaction to it. You know, mm-hmm. Like there was this idea of, you know, in 2020 of should we miss games? Should we kneel? Should we do this? Should we do that? And while I think Jay-Z had different reasons to say that and like very self-serving reasons to say that, mm-hmm. I think the thing of like being past kneeling is sort of where we're at here. Of like, I don't know. I know for me, as somebody who has to come up with words for these things, I'm sort of at a loss. I've been writing about police brutality for a long time and like reacting to it for a long time. And it just feels like we're at a different stage of this where it's like, I'm not looking at players to lead this year. Like I'm looking at folks with power to do something. And I'm not sure what can be done anymore in terms of players. Like across the country, the George Floyd protests were the largest protests in the history of this country. And like, we're still here. So it's sort of like collective feeling of being like at a loss over this whole thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that role for the athletes has always been, at least how I viewed it, was to bring attention to a situation. I think it's probably unfair to have an expectation that they should lead. I don't ever think I consider them leaders, even though like we use that word. I don't see them as civil rights leaders or justice leaders. They're athletes. And in many cases, they're Black athletes, which comes with an extra burden. I don't think it should, but it does. Mm. Whereas because of like the history and the heritage of Black people finding success in sports and entertainment because other avenues were blocked from them and other avenues were less of a meritocracy. Not that sports and entertainment is a complete meritocracy, but there's something to be said for if you are just faster and stronger and smarter on the field or court, then to some degree, you can't be denied. And so, like, because of that, Black people got power, or at least influence in those places sooner. So, like, I think that Howard Bryant wrote a book called The Heritage. This is why I use the word the heritage. That heritage of, like, athlete activism is something that I think is, at least here, unique to Black athletes, is that you have a, to some degree, like, I don't want to say you have an obligation, because I don't think it's true of all Black athletes. I think some, I think that they should be free to just be athletes. Like, they should not have to have this burden of also, like, being responsible to, like, shine a light on issues of injustice, but, like, also feel like you do have that responsibility. So if their responsibility or obligation is to bring attention, which is, in my view, that's it, we don't need any more attention on it. Like, right, we actually need solutions. Like, people know, people accept it. People are aware that police brutality against, I almost said Black men, but don't want to, like, leave out the women, Sandra Bland, and the women who've been killed at this also. But yeah. So, yeah, I mean, to your point, I don't think that there is anything for athletes to do other than, like, and sorry, this is a bit of a tangent. It's not specific to this, but it's in general, is what comes. It's important to understand, I think, how it's a hard thing to do, is, like, be passionate and enthusiastic about something, but understand the limits that education or experience or understanding can help you. Cause I think that's part of the struggle, is, like, all right, I'm an athlete, I have a big platform, or I'm a celebrity in some way, I have a big platform, I direct everybody to look over here. And then it's important for that person with a platform to then tag in some people who, like, are actually doing the reading,
right?
For lack of a better description, because I think it's dangerous that you get there and you're like, oh, everybody wants to hear what I have to say. That must mean that I need to come up with a solution. No, you don't. It's okay to say you don't know the answer and you think this is important, but you are not fully versed in it.
Well, I think that leads to the LeBron of it all, which I think is somebody who messed this up terribly. I mean, like you said, like, the burn thing is interesting, because, like, I try to unburden us from that sort of stuff, because, like, Black athletes can't hold the burden of how Black athletes act or Black people act, and hold the burden of how white folks act, even though, like,
yeah,
yes, these cops are Black, but, like, we'll get into that, I'm sure, about what the race of the cops actually means. Like, for me, it's like, why, you know, like, how can we get into a system in which white folks feel the burden of white supremacy? You know what I'm saying? Like, would they feel that type of feeling of obligation to do something about it, instead of, like, immediately Black folks, like, we have to do something. And, like, this is not something that we created. Like, we didn't create policing. We didn't create white supremacy. We didn't create racial profiling, but, like, we feel obligated to do it. And, like, I always wonder why is that missing from, you know, white folks and white owners and white rich people? And, like, where is that feeling of, well, I need to do something about this, because this is, like, what we're doing to folks, you know? Like, I think, Dominique, as a man, I think sometimes you feel responsible or a burden to, like, whenever, like, we have these instances of, like, men mistreating women or things like that, to sort of stand it. But, like, you know, where is that? Like, is that?
That's interesting.
That burden and that obligation.
That's interesting, because I was gonna say that, like, they don't feel negatively impacted by it, so that's the reason why they're less active. But I guess, to your point, like, I am not negatively, like, immediately impacted. Like, I don't feel, so I feel less safe as a Black person, and so, like, that could be my motivation,
right?
But I don't feel less safe as a man, but I am still, like, motivated to, like, speak out when given opportunity about, and, like, try to take whatever action and give money or whatever. Like, we all feel that. So that's you cut off my explanation before I could get to it, which is, but I think that's definitely part of it. And I don't believe that I care about women's rights or domestic violence because I have daughters or a wife. Like, before I had any of those things, or because I have a mother. Like, I don't know. Like, I think that's a good question. But I also think that like the it's not only that they aren't impacted by it, it's that they believe that they'll be negatively impacted by a change.
Right. Yeah.
It's like they have to give up something is how they see it. Like in order for there to be more justice. And I don't know that they explicitly see it this way, but I think it's like underneath, and maybe I should take a note for myself in that if you're not like super informed on a topic, maybe you shouldn't hazard these guesses. But like, it just, that's what it feels like is to me. That's the only thing that makes sense to me is the system as it stands means that someone's always beneath you, and actions to like bring them up means that then they'll no longer be beneath you.
Swimsuit, check. Sunscreen, check. Phone charger, check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or in a carry-on. And the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5hourenergy.com. Expires April 30th. One time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5hourenergy.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur. Barnstown, Kentucky. 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We all go through things socially where we don't feel like ourselves, where we don't feel like going out, where we feel drained, or we're not bursting with energy. And when you're not feeling right, that's where BetterHelp can come in. It's helpful for learning positive coping skills, how to set boundaries in so many different ways, for which it empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who experience major trauma. Therapy is for more than those people, and it's there to help you. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. It's there for you. It's there to help you. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp.
Visit BetterHelp.com/DF today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/DF.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, I mean, like, let's not forget, like, police are killing white folks too. Like, they're killing more white folks than there are black folks. Obviously, per capita, it's way more black folks. They kill a lot of white folks out there. And like, this is you can, as a white person, can die from police brutality. Like, you know, and it's just it's the upholding of this thing that benefits white people in an aggregate over, like, it's valuing white supremacy over white people, which is essentially one of the big problems here. But to your earlier point about athletes needing to step down, I mean, LeBron said that we are our own worst enemy this weekend, which is following a very long string of like LeBron things that he's done that this year that have been really upsetting. And I think, you know, to your point, like, we got to be more critical about this. Like, yes, these are five black police officers, but like, they are part of an institution that is anti-black. And like, we all know that black people uphold white supremacy all the time. Just like there are, you know, some women who uphold misogyny and things like that. But like, to look at those five black cops and feel as though this is like, which LeBron was sort of alluding to, like some sort of black on black crime or like black, you know, like thing that black people have against each other, is like irresponsible, borderline reprehensible type of thing that you have when you have that kind of platform. And it lets the nature of policing, which is the issue here, is policing, that is, it lets it off the hook. I mean, all the mitigating things that police were supposed to do, body cams, other police present, non-lethal weapons, like they were all there, and they still massacre this dude and yeah, on the street corner.
I saw the tweet because you shared it with me. So I did not see when it was tweeted or what context it was tweeted in. Like, I was hoping that he meant something else.
Uh-huh.
That he was talking about the Lakers turning the ball over too much.
Right.
Has anyone asked him about it? Has he addressed it? Like, what is...
No, he hasn't been asked about it. I mean, I think he had the benefit of that really bad foul call against the Celtics that everybody could sort of focus on. But I mean, LeBron, and I send it to you partially because we had just come off the LeBron Kareem discussion on Debatable and sort of this comparison between the two. I mean, LeBron has, I mean, a few months ago, LeBron was listening to Tory Lanez music on Instagram after he, you know, shot Megan Thee Stallion and was headed to trial for that. And, you know, LeBron has not shy about tweeting his support of Deshaun Watson on any given Sunday. And like he is tweeting out something about like these police officers. And like he hasn't been asked about any of those things. Meanwhile, he is making valid points, but he's still making a point that on press conferences of why aren't we asking Jerry Jones about those old video, that old photo. And like he would probably not like being asked any of these questions that people should be bringing up to him.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I don't want to turn it into a LeBron specific conversation, but I do think that there has to be one of the tough things about being an outspoken athlete. And I think we in the media are responsible for this part of it, is like once they draw the attention, then the next question is like, what do we do? And they feel like they need to have an answer. But like somehow we need to create a scenario where they understand you don't have to have the answer.
Right.
you know, like you don't have to have the answer. You can just say that I want your eyes here and look here. And then like you can use your platform to elevate issues, but you can also use it to elevate people who are like, it's not fair to assume that you can be devoted to being the best basketball player in the world and also be like on the cutting edge of like
right,
social justice reform. Like that's a fair thing. Like I wish that somebody would whisper that to these players, and like that's a reasonable response. Like, yeah, I know this is a problem, and yes, I'm a basketball player, so I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I have the social and political solutions, but I just want you to know that we need to focus on this, and this person is someone who I've been reading and someone who I've been talking to that might be able to help us in that way.
Yeah. I mean, understanding policing is hard. Like it's really difficult to understand how policing works, how jail works, like what's the difference between defund and abolition and reform and all that. Like it is like full classes in books on books on books on books to understand it, which is something that even I read a lot and I get, you know, caught up in that stuff and try to figure that stuff out. And yeah, I agree. Athletes got to know sort of when to hold them and when to fold them and like when to sort of pass the baton on to those places. Like you ain't doing the work, man. You're not doing the reading. You're not doing the work. And it's not that you have to, like you're busy, you know, like Kareem can do it. You know, Kareem also was, you know, that was half of his life at that time, you know, different. Like he wasn't doing endorsements and doing social media, doing all that stuff. Like he had the time to do it and he was intentional about it. And so athletes got to sort of figure out what that next step is, because this thing of to the original point of kneeling and what are we going to do with this game? I think we got to sort of strategize a little bit more.
We're also at a point where I feel like there's so much access with the players that you can't hide your inconsistencies.
Right. Yeah.
In a way where you used to be able to hide your inconsistencies. We also need to accept that us as like fans and people in the media need to understand that we're getting a fuller picture of these people, and once if you look back at like the civil rights leaders that we champion, you get a fuller picture of them. They have inconsistencies too. So the country and the laws should not have inconsistencies, but we should not expect perfection out of like whistleblowers and leaders. Like that's, we should be able to parse through like, this is valid. This right. is bullshit. This is valid.
Yeah. Fun conversation. Fun talk. Yeah.
So I'm not going to watch it. You think you're going to watch it?
No, I was actually in front of a TV with some other folks on CNN at 7 when they were airing it. Mm-hmm. And I had no desire. Like I've seen enough there, you know, and I think it's important for people to know that like there is an actual like psychological,
right.
you know, detriment to watching these things. Like there is PTSD from watching folks die, you know, like there's just, that's just going to be that. But then also when you add racialized terror to it and you know that could happen to you. You know, like, I think that's the thing, like to know that could happen to any of us, like none of us are exempt. Yeah. And yeah, like people will say, well, athletes, like ask Tabo Cephalosha how exempt he feels from, what happened, you know, like there's
James Blake, a tennis player.
Yeah. Like ask athletes how exempt they feel from all this stuff. And it's just the fact that nothing you do, no matter money, no anything will protect you from that violence, and you're watching it in real time and watching how it's going to happen to you. There is a psychological impact on that. So I would encourage anybody to sort of lean into what's best for them than you know, feeling obligated to watch something like that.
All right. Well, I appreciate you, brother. Thanks for pushing me to do this conversation. Cause I think it's probably, yeah, we got to some places I think are worth discussing. It's not fun.
No.
All right, brother. Thanks again.
This is the Dominique Foxworth Show.